We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyberfusion USA.
Welcome to the Neil Haley Show's Total Celebrity segment. I'm excited to welcome the program Jay Coot, Rose Short, and Ricky Duran from The Voice. Guys, how are you?
Doing great. Doing well.
Fantastic. Jake, first question for you. Tell me how it felt once you learned you made the Final Four, that kind of aspiration feeling, that kind of I cannot believe it. Take us back to that.
Yeah. I almost started crying. You know, as soon as I got done hugging Hello Sunday and walking off the stage, and then when I got backstage, I was definitely bawling like a baby, and I had to take a moment because it just, you know, every step of the way you think that's the last week, that's the last time you're going to get to perform on that stage, and now to actually make it to the very end and be among this incredible group of people is just, I mean, it's incredibly overwhelming.
What, Jake, what would you say is your greatest moment on The Voice so far? Because that was awesome. But I'm sure you have a story to tell that kind of jumps into that more, like to talk more about what, like these moments that you've had in this journey.
Absolutely. I think, you know, obviously one of the big moments was getting a chair turned during the blinds. But I think as far as performance wise, you know, getting to sing Desperado, that was the first performance I walked out there and wasn't nervous. And I played so many shows back home. And I went out there with the mentality of, you know what, I'm just going to go out here and have a good time. And I honestly felt like I was back home. The world around me stopped, and I just completely, you know, just immersed myself into that song. And that was probably the most fun I'd had on that stage this entire time.
Oh, that's got to be a tremendous feeling, Jake. And for the fans out there, where's the best place we can connect with you, Jake, and learn more about you? Where can we go?
Absolutely. I've got a Facebook page, Jake Coot. And then, of course, I've got Jay Coot Music on Instagram. Hit me up on there. I try my best to keep up and respond to everybody, but especially right now, we're running nonstop, and so it's hard to get back. But, yeah, definitely, you know, hit me up on there and shoot me a message, and, you know, I'll definitely get back as soon as I can.
And that's the thing. Your fans are what made you, right, Jake? And without the fans, you're nothing in this process.
Absolutely. I think that's, you know, that's one of the most challenging things is to always keep that in mind because, you know, up to a certain point, the coaches are the ones pushing you through. And then once you make lives, it's all about the fans. And every time I go out there, and I think any of us go out there, you know, that's what we're thinking about is we're trying to connect and trying to, you know, create a moment for everybody to enjoy.
All right. Now I'm excited to welcome the program from Team Gwen, Rose Short. Rose, thanks for calling. And, I know you got to be so excited right now.
I am. I'm elated.
The elation, and it's to the point where you said all that hard work, right, Rose? All that
Yes. Is
finally paid off to get to here. And you probably at times thought yourself, really, am I going to be here? Can I make it to the Final Four, right?
Absolutely. I feel like anybody who's, especially those that have come before us have all had that moment. I've had that moment. Like, you don't see a lot of things that go on behind the scenes. It's mental things that you have to fight against, you know, because in your mind you're like, am I good enough? Am I going to get through? And deep down you're like, I know I have what it takes. So you have to kind of balance all the things out and just stay in the moment and be grateful for every time that you can get up on that stage. Because it can absolutely be your last, but that doesn't mean that if it is your last, that it means that you're a failure at anything. It just means that it was your time and your season in this time is done. But that it doesn't mean anything, you know. Doesn't discredit your abilities.
It doesn't mean anything. You're right. And that's what we have to learn in life is when we have these struggles, when we have these challenges, we keep going because we never know when we're going to have our moment, our time.
Right.
And you're going to get a thousand no's in life. But when you just keep going through to bust through that door, you never know where you're going to end up. Now, tell us, take us back. Once you heard you're performing and you finished, you find out they announce you're in the final four. That feeling. Tell us about that. Kind of take us back.
Oh, man. The feeling was just like, wow, like I'm so grateful because in my mind, like I said, I had made peace with whatever the outcome was going to be. Like I was prepared to pack up my clothes, my wigs and everything and just go back home and go to work. But when I heard my name, I was like, wow, you know, these people took time, you know, wherever they were, and was like, I got to vote this girl in. Like, she deserves to be there, you know. And I can't even begin to explain it, you know. Like, it's a beautiful feeling, and I'm so grateful.
It's definitely a beautiful feeling. And your greatest moment on The Voice, we have all these times we've interacted with our competitors, we've interacted with the judges. What would be that greatest moment?
The greatest moment for me, you mean as far as interaction or the performance?
Yeah, anything on The Voice. What was that greatest moment for you?
The greatest moment for me, I would have to say, is the Maybe I'm Amazed. I feel like the Maybe I'm Amazed has just kind of put me, you know, up there with all these great people, you know. Like, it was, I just felt like at that moment, like, I felt like I had arrived, you know. I felt like I was in my element. I felt like Rose had just blossomed and was able to just truly be myself on that stage. I felt beautiful, I felt confident, and I felt sure of my talent.
That's fantastic. Best place we can find information on you, Rose, connect with you and learn more about you. Where can we go?
Okay, the best place you can find information about me is Twitter at I Am Rose Short, Facebook Rose Short, Instagram I Am Rose Short, and that's it.
And as a recording artist, Rose, wouldn't you agree that social media and promotion is more of a challenge for artists than it is for other types of people? Yeah.
It absolutely is. I'm the type of person that, like, if I could see you right now, I hug everybody. Everybody knows I'm a hugger. I want to give everybody special attention. I have been terrible on Instagram because I feel like if I respond to one person and then, you know, you skip over somebody else and they're like, oh, my goodness, you didn't respond to me. So I've been terrible. I haven't even been responding to people. I will read it and be like, oh, my gosh, and I'll shed a tear. And I'll be like, oh, I want to respond.
You have all the time.
I'm just a very personal. Yes, I'm a very personable person, but I'm terrible when it comes to Instagram and posting because, you know, I feel like it's homework. Like, you know, I be wanting to post something real funny, but it's like I can't, you know, I got to be politically, you know. But, you know, whatever.
It's an art, Rose. It's an art. All right. Well, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. All right. Now I'm excited to welcome the program from Team Blake, Ricky Duran. Ricky, thanks for calling. And I know you got to be excited. Yeah, I'm thanks to talking to you again. I got the chance to chat with you when you were moving down the line. Can you tell me how it felt once you learned you made the Final Four? Kind of that experience, how it felt when they announced your name.
It was pretty surreal. You know, it was like a dream because, you know, this is such a long. It's been such a long process from the audition to here, and you know, I was. On her, you know, I told her what the best case scenario would be after Blonde auditions, you know, make it to the finale, and I can't believe that it's happened for me, you know, every step of the way.
Yes.
I feel like I've made the right steps every week, and it's just a rare thing, you know, all the stars aligned in my favor, and it was just a blessing. Yeah,
the greatest moment you've had on The Voice through all the interactions with contestants, anything since you've been part of this process of The Voice, what would have been your greatest moment?
You know, it's a toss-up between getting those four chairs in my Blonde audition because that just was obviously the turning point in my life and in my career. But it's right up there with my last week's performance of Let It Be, to have the opportunity to sing a song that was so meaningful to me for so many ways, and also a song that's so inspirational to pretty much most people in the world, you know that song, and it has such
yes.
an uplifting message, and to be able to bring that positivity to on a national level and for millions of people was probably my greatest musical moment in my life this far.
Oh, that's tremendous. And the last question I wanted to ask you is where we can connect with you, social media, all that
sure.
stuff, so that people can follow you. And then once this is over, once the smoke clears, it's time for you, Ricky, to take the brand to the next level. Utilize this platform as a way to transform a world, because you're on a world stage. This is the place you can transform and make it a transformational lifetime because of being in the four. But where can we find the info on you?
All right, thank you. Yeah, please add me up on Instagram. It's at Ricky Duran. On Twitter and Facebook, it's at I Am Ricky Duran. And also my YouTube channel is Ricky Duran Music. I've posted covers on there, been posting covers for years. So check all that out, please.
Well, Ricky, thanks for calling, and thanks for coming on the show, and best of luck with
thank you so much,
to see if you can become the winner of The Voice. Take care, guys. All right, thanks again.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. You're listening to Neil Haley's show, and we'll be back in just a moment.
To the School Choice Show on the Neil Haley Network. I'm excited to welcome the program, the host, school choice advocate, and much more, Ed Temple. Ed, how are you? Last week's talk was very good. We really kind of got the motivation about school choice in so many ways, and that's such an important conversation that we're seeing. And I guess January comes up, School Choice Month. That's going to be a big month for you. January 2020 to talk more school choice. And I know we have some amazing guests today for us.
You got that right. We have two outstanding guests, and I think both of them are, the good thing about them is they're real fired up, and that's what we want them to be, because these guys are, you talk about leading advocates in the United States right now, they are leading the way. And trust me, I pay attention. I'm looking at things all the time and seeing who is out there and stirring up some good trouble. And so today I want to start off with Cassandra. Cassandra, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes. Hello, everybody. My name is Cassandra McCray. I am in the Dallas-Fort Worth area in Texas. And I grew up here. I was born and raised here. I have ventured out all over the country working for several different corporations. I work in IT. I have a degree in computer science. But I just really want to talk a little more about my upbringing here. I went to school here in private school. I actually went to Catholic school. My parents were self-employed, and in them being self-employed, of course, you know, being homeowners, they paid taxes and everything into a system, but they decided to send us to private school. So I had the luxury of having private school starting out very young, and I made the decision to go into public school in high school. And I went to Talented and Gifted Magnet High School here, probably still the number one school in the country. So very proud of that. And on to college. So there are a few of us who have had the luxury to go on to college. So getting married and everything here in Texas, I have children. I have three sons who I started them out in Christian school because I thought it was just such a wonderful foundation for myself and to kind of get that give that moral ground, that moral footing for them to go into school and be the best people they could be. So we end up moving to another area in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And so we had to leave our private school. So I tried public school for a minute, and the public schools, let's just say they were different. They were very different in behavior and
we have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. We shake up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyrus Mission USA.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcasters' features, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Character and those types of things, which was more important to me than what they were learning, because I could teach them myself. So, you know, to be able to get that, to people say that you want your children to be socialized. Well, I want them to be socialized in a good way, not in a negative way. And so I end up bringing them home, and I decided to stop working for a while and homeschool them. So, and that's what led me up today. I'm my youngest that I've homeschooled is 17 years old now and preparing to be a fireman. And along with my children, other parents asked me, because they were so desperately looking for something other than what they had. And a lot of them may or may not be able to afford private school, or maybe there were some things that hindered them, their children, from being able to go into those schools. But I had parents to ask me to homeschool their children. So my children were not alone in their homeschooling. So in some ways, I mean, you could call it kind of like a co-op, but I was the only teacher, so I had to be well-rounded in every subject. So that was my experience. So that pretty much solves where I am. So where I am now is, I thought I was going to be done with homeschool. I thought I was going to get ready to go back to my career and everything. And then the Lord spoke to me clear as day. This is what I want you to do, but I want you to do it on a larger scale. So the difference between my school and what I believe that the kids were getting in public school, which was not allowing them to be successful, was the moral component. And they really needed to understand who they were, so that they could go out there and be the best person that they could be. You know, they learned how to study. They learned to do their homework. They learned to strive for excellence. You know, they learned moral character. They learned a lot of these things. And a lot of the times, public schools will offer these things. You know, they will say, we've got a character development, you know, or something. But it's more like suggestions when kids don't have a rooted foundation of who they are. So the parents that brought their kids to me knew that they were going to have that moral component, and they knew that they were going to come from a Christian basis. So that's where it was, a Christian foundation that I had them on. And those kids went back to thrive. And I have several of my children who are in college today. One's getting ready to graduate on December 12th, I believe she told me. So, you know, I'm really excited about that. So now what I'm trying to do is to start my own private schools. And the vision that I've been given is to start 12 private schools all across the country. And they will be called Nation of Christians Academy, because that's what I'm trying to build for those children who are Christians. They should be under the influence of Christian teachers, learning about their faith, knowing who they are. They shouldn't be learning about something else or some different cultural things that will leave them in a negative way. So if we can get those schools started, Christian parents should have the right to send their children to Christian schools. And so, and I believe that about any faith who's trying to establish that in their children's lives, they need something that's going to be in agreement with what they're teaching at home. And so that's what I'm doing today. So we're looking at 12 Christian schools on a budget of $25 million. And so that's what I'm seeking, and that's what I'm trying to do. And because you can see that my homeschool was called the Wealth Building Leadership Academy. I'm very big on funding and on money and making sure those things are. I'm talking about one-time funding that we'll be able to carry on, that we should not need any further funding in the way that I'm doing it. So that's the thing that I'm looking at. So we can find a way to raise that $25 million and be able to get these schools funded, what I'm looking at, for at least 10 years.
Okay. And Visha, can you tell us a little bit about how you started making a name for yourself in terms of what you have done, and in particular that recent event in Atlanta?
So didn't set out to make a name for myself, that's for sure. I prefer to be behind everything. But, I'm from that. My name is Visha Hawkins. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, born and raised, still here. Married a Nashvillian. We, you know, had our family, raised our family here. We are all graduates of the school district, of the Nashville school district. I was a longtime employee of that school district. But I was also, I've also been kind of low key a school choice advocate, at least for my family, right? I think I told you earlier, you know, our kids, you know, we just took advantage of choice within the system. And I just, you know, I just, that's just not a lot, in my opinion, to ask, right? I don't know why that's so controversial. And so, but about 3 years ago, I met two parents, two moms, and one was a single mom. And I asked them both what school did their children go to. And one lady whispered to me the school, and it was a charter school. And I remember going to my car that night. I was so upset. And I remember thinking, what have I done? What part have I played in this city that would make any parent feel ashamed or scared to say what school they've chosen for their child? Right. And I really had to reflect. And so I remember taking to Twitter, just going to Twitter and just talking about that experience. And these people just kind of descended upon me like unbelievable. Like they were so angry, you know, that I was kind of having a, you know, I don't know what, you know, that I was kind of changing my views, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I really saw things differently just from that one experience. I thought, man, we literally have people who are tethered to schools that can't help so many kids. And I was one of those kids over 30 years ago, right? And I was tethered to those same schools that are still failing today, right? And so... and that's pre-charter school, right? And that's, you know, pre-vouchers, you know, it's pre all that stuff.
Yeah.
So we have a community problem. You know, we have a community that's really comfortable with certain kids. We have a 85% of our low-income kids in grades 3 through 8 read below grade level. Mm-hmm. And that's in Nashville. And I don't know if you know anything about Nashville, but... like we are this amazing city with amazing things, and people are moving here like crazy, and we are, you know, growing leaps and bounds, right? We are becoming the city. but, you know, 85% of our 3rd through 8th graders read below grade level.
And see, that's ridiculous. And this is just the point as a teacher and as a tutor. When I work, I mean, I'm a former teacher that still tutors SAT, ACT, I tutor all subjects, work with younger kids. If I don't see progress, I don't feel I'm doing my job, okay?
Right.
If I don't show that my kids are progressing, I don't see it. I don't know how teachers can deal with that kind of failure rate and continue to be in a profession. And it's not their fault. It's what they're given. But there has to be more parents like yourself and everyone else to speak out against this. I had a conversation with my wife yesterday. I said, the bottom line in all this is that these teachers are going to get to do the continue to do what they do if we don't speak out to what's truly happening in the classroom.
I agree. I'm sensitive because I love teachers, right? I mean, I put them on a pedestal almost like a pastor for some reason. I've always done that. So I try to be sensitive to, you know, I try to stay out of the classroom because I'm not a practitioner, right? I've only worked in the school district from a distance. But in the last couple of years, I've gotten really entrenched in the whole literacy issues here. Now we're talking about the science of reading, right? That's a hot topic right now, the science of reading. And it's been amazing to me to learn so much, right? And one of the things I've learned is that, you know, our colleges of education are turning out teachers who have not been taught how to teach reading, right?
And that's because of Common Core, by the way. But I just have to bring that up. Okay. It's destroyed our system of reading. Kids no longer know how to use phonemic awareness when they read. It's an absolute joke. So that's what I'm learning. You're seeing such a drop off in reading. The way we're teaching it is just ridiculous.
So that's what I've learned, right? I did not. So check this out. So in 2017. I was mining, it was October 2017. I was mining through our data. And that's when the literacy issues hit me. You know, the numbers, you know, speak to me, right? And so that's when the numbers really spoke to me. So I took about 7 months to just meet with different educators and administrators around the city. I had between 50 and 60 coffees in about a 7 month period. And everybody blamed parents, everybody but one person. Everybody I met with blamed parents. And so by July, I was spent, right? Like, I was so depressed. I was like, these people, I don't know. I didn't know what to do, right? So I stopped because I was I was literally depressed. The question in my mind was, I mean, can a parent just expect their kids to learn the basic ABCs and 1-2-3s when they walk into the door? I mean, can we just expect that, really, right? Mm-hmm. So Emily Hanford, I don't know if you've heard her audio podcast, Hard Words. I listened to that audio podcast last September. It was like a lightning rod in the education world, right? And so I've spent a lot of my time trying to figure out how to distill that literacy information to parents, right? Because even if the parent decides that they want to go to the school across the street as opposed to choosing a school somewhere else, if they want to, you know, we've got to make the situation the best possible, right? No matter where they are in school, in the public school system. And so in my mind, literacy is that thing. Because we know what happens when kids can't read.
I mean, not they can't do anything else then.
Exactly.
Not able to read. It's a building block. So, and I'm going to jump back to you. They have provided such great information. We probably need a roundtable discussion to continue this conversation another time in a longer phase in education. But what do you want to learn from them today, Ed?
First off, we have, you know, different, we have, there's a lot of different perspectives in the United States. Cassandra, for example, I totally enjoy her. She's on the Facebook end of things, and she educates people a lot on different things that are going on. And her perspective, you know, obviously one thing I don't know if she mentioned today, she's got a really cool background, and, you know, she's in the South. She's coming out of Texas, and you know, there's She grew up with whatever issues, but one thing she was taught from a young age is not to make excuses. But the point is, though, that when these kids are choosing to go to schools, we have to get to the point where the kid has real options, not just told, you know, how to think, what to think, you know, teach to the test, shut down schools, shut down.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. We shake up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
For weeks. You know, I've been teaching since, I believe it's been 94, you could argue, but 97 officially. And I've taught in Florida, taught in Pennsylvania, taught in Ohio, taught in a big school, small school, country school, had them all. And what I do notice is that, you know, at the Christian school, you were saying that, you know, you hold teachers. Vishi was saying that she holds teachers almost like pastors. Well, at the school I'm at, I'm literally considered a pastor. The teachers are considered, you know, in the ministry. So we're both teachers and pastors officially. So so it's okay in this case. But but the point is, you know, we have, you know, like here we've had, I've had kids on here from the public school, and the kids here used to say things like, "This is, might as well say it's a public school." And I said, "You would never say that if you went to one." And of course, we've had kids this year. A lot of them that have come from the public school, and they got on our show, and they talked about the difference. And some of them they seem like they're maybe unimportant, but when you're talking about the whole child, there's a lot more involved in a kid than just learning out of a book. There's a interaction with the teachers that is special. That or there's an interaction with each other. These kids, there's a whole different aura about it, and I should know. Like I said, I've taught in the other extreme. Kids here, they joke around because they know that I make a lot less money here, and they think it's an insult when they talk about it. And I say, guys, you don't get it. I love my job, and I wouldn't change it. You know, so I don't care if I make a third of as much. I'm enjoying what I'm doing, and it's a different relationship between, you know, when I was in the public school systems. I mean, every day I'm getting cussed out, threatened. You know, I got to worry about walking out of the building without getting shot, or my kids getting killed. I had two of my kids killed. Two of my kids killed somebody in the same year. You know, so you know, when I'm here, these kids, I mean, the worst thing you might see is an argument. You know, and those are settled really quickly. So there's just not, it's not the same situation. We have some of the same. You know, we have kids from all over. We have kids from, I mean, all over Central Ohio that go to school here. So, and they're coming from 80% of them are coming from those failed schools. And those schools, they, as these kids have talked about, are very dangerous. And they're dangerous. They're not getting a good education. And it's not fair to them to be it. It's immoral to force them to go to those schools. They shouldn't have to get a voucher. They shouldn't have to wait until a school is considered failing. They should be able to go here by choice. It's their tax money. We all pay taxes, whether it's indirectly or directly, we're all paying. And so it should be, we should have a say-so in where our kids get to go to school. We shouldn't have bureaucrats sitting around in a room making those decisions for us. We got to get the power back to the parents. Cassandra, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, two things come to mind, just listening to Visha and to you and Neil. One thing popped in my mind, because I've said this over and over again. I've had my students and parents to ask me to go into the school district to teach. And I said, I would never do that. I have the freedom to teach them what I think that they need to know. Of course, when we're talking about reading and the statistics that Visha just talked about, that is so unacceptable to me. When in kindergarten, first, second grade, no child should get beyond second grade not knowing how to read. And when you're talking about the teachers, I often ask myself, what does certification do when we will allow an engineer like myself to come into the classroom without necessarily being certified? And so I tend to believe, not knowing enough about certification, maybe you can tell me a little more about that. I would rather have teachers who are not necessarily certified and have them to be specialize in those fields. If they're writers, you know, to be teaching English, or, you know, to have those individuals who have worked in the field, worked as editors or something of that nature, that teach writing, you know, someone who has worked in those. I don't understand what certification does outside of prevent people who perhaps would be a very good. Okay, so is it about money? I mean, because I'm not understanding that connection. And then the other thing is that the freedom gives teachers choices. That's what I heard coming from Ed. Not only do students get choice, but teachers should have choice. Right. You know, if you don't want to work in that environment where you're going to be constantly threatened, or in a place where someone's allowed to curse at you or abuse you, and it disrupts the whole learning environment. So it may be some other alternative, other factors that prohibit these kids from being able to learn. So, yeah. And these are the things that I like to get, because when I went to my private school, we walked down the hallways with our hands behind our backs. We were little soldiers. There was a lot of discipline. There was a lot of discipline. And I enjoyed that.
Yeah. We have I think they call them no excuses charter schools implement that kind of behavior, you know, discipline in the schools. And we get a lot of pushback on that, which is really interesting. And I get a lot of people, you know, they DM me when they, you know, don't like what I say, and that's fine, you know. But like one person said, you know, you are always talking about charter schools. What about the charter schools that make people, you know, sit and don't say anything, or walk in a straight line with their hands behind their backs? And I said, if their parents are okay with it, who in the heck am I to say something, right? Like, for real.
There's just different environments for different people. And you guys are bringing up the situation. We got to allow choice, but we have to have success in education. Yeah. And the way we transform success is different with every kid, and different. You can't have one size fits all education. The Common Core needs to be completely disbanded. And you have to stop rewarding teachers for being members of unions and get the high paying gigs versus teachers that are successful and are very, I mean, in their craft. They're able to perform a great lesson. They are able to inspire their kids to achieve. And sometimes not always standardized tests. It's everything else, the intangibles that we're not evaluating on. And at the end of the day, how many of their kids are graduating? How many of their kids are going on to successful careers? You could track these things. And it's a different type of evaluation process. But it's a no-brainer. It's like having certain professions. If doctors were constantly killing people, would you keep them performing surgery? No, right. It would be gone.
Right.
Right.
And we have people teaching in school that would be killing people if they were performing surgery. But Ed, last point, I wish we could have them on longer. I have to kind of invite them on tomorrow night. I'm up late tomorrow night. My live event for the 10th anniversary of me being in radio and television with VIP internet radio and everything is going to be all day, 24 hours, starting at midnight. I will be on a few blocks. I'll mention that to you, Ed, in the evening hours. We're going to be back broadcasting live again. So I don't know what you guys are doing on a Friday night, but available, we could have longer conversation and really get chatting going. But Ed, best place we can find information quickly that's kind of close out. What is your summary from this conversation? Again, the summaries, I see this as, guess what? We have to change things. And the only way to do it is politically. The only way to do it is grassroots. And we could continue to talk about it till we just get blue in the face, but we have to figure out a way to make the change.
Yeah. And Cassandra, I'd like to connect with you later.
Absolutely. I'd love to.
Thank you.
All right. Ed, best place to purchase your book and learn more about you, where we can go.
You can purchase it on Amazon, but it's all over Abbey Books. You can Google it. You'll find it. Target, Walmart, online, anything you want to look up and find. But it's Escape from Uncle Sam's Plantation. It's effectively what we've been talking about on the show, which is school choice is a necessary thing. We need to have it. Most everybody wants it except the unions and whoever they've bought and paid for. And so we need to fight against it. We need to fight for our education freedom.
And best place we could find information on Cassandra and everybody, just kind of give us the quick place to plug both of you guys. Where can we go?
Well, for myself, I'm usually on Facebook. I spend a lot of time there. And that is kind of where I've taken my opportunity to speak to people and change minds and hearts. I'm Cassandra Woodson McRae on Facebook. You can also find me on Twitter. I had to change my Twitter, so I'm now Red Velvet Cake. So you'll have to look for that. I'll have to explain that later. But also, I have the Wealth Building Leadership. I do lots of things on Facebook, so there's a group there. There's also I created the Texas Homeschool Association in Southern Dallas County, so I have a homeschool association page that's there. And so, you know, I would love for people to make connection with me if they are interested, if they're interested in school choice, so that we can band together and be a consolidated voice. And I love making that trip to Austin to talk to our state representatives. So I would love for anyone who is in the state of Texas to contact me, because I love to go down there in a group to advocate for school choice and school vouchers, or including private school.
Okay.
All right. I'm Visha Hawkins, and I am Visha Hawkins on Twitter. And that's where I spend most of my time. I'm on Facebook, but I talk about Hallmark Christmas movies on Facebook. But you can check me out on Twitter, where I'm a lot edgier. And I just want people to leave families alone and let them choose what they choose.
All right.
And back off.
All right. Fantastic. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Again, that was a school choice show. We'll continue to go through 2020 trying to continue to get this message out. Take care, guys.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Celebrity Show on the Neil Haley Network. And I'm excited to welcome the program Teresa Romer. Teresa, thanks for calling. Entrepreneur, author, fitness, YouTuber, social media influencer, everything in between. And I'm just impressed looking on social media with you and your good pal Dominic showing your 3,000-foot closet, and I'm excited to chat with you today.
Definitely. Thanks for having me. Thanks a lot.
You had a journey from starting out in Nebraska. So tell me kind of a little bit about that story and that background in Nebraska. But you went through a lot of heartache and pain in your life and adversity to be where you are today. But it all started in Nebraska, right?
Yeah, it's funny. Most people don't realize when they see you now, they don't realize where you came from. They just think you've always been the way you are now. And, you know, I started out as a little girl on a farm in Nebraska, with rheumatic fever 4 different times, which left me with a heart murmur. And, you know, it was a struggle to just be normal in life. And that's probably where I got my journey that I went on to in fitness, was because I refused to give in to the doctors and be a sick little kid and have to stay inside. And so I journeyed into fitness, and that took me on my road into fitness, which took me into scholarships, which took me into owning my own health clubs and being a personal trainer for 30 years, which took me into climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. But along that way, you know, many, many different other hardships, including, you know, losing my little brother from a massive heart attack at 23, losing my own son in a car accident at 19, losing my father at the young age of 70. You know, just, you know, life is filled full of heartaches, but you have to be able to overcome them all the way.
Teresa, you're the first person I met that had rheumatic fever that I've interviewed in my career in 10 years. I had it too as a kid in ninth grade. I was diagnosed with it, and I'm 6'10", 300 plus pounds now, but I was a frail being when I got that diagnosis. I didn't have any heart problems, but I dealt with the pain of the joints and how you can walk up the steps. And people don't know how debilitating that disease is when you get it.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future. The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Right. Well, and our problem is we lived on a ranch remotely, very far from town. And so, you know, back in those days when you got a cold or strep throat, that, you know, your parents just tried to treat you. And so unbeknownst to my mother, every time I would get strep throat, it would lead into rheumatic fever. And I ended up with it 4 different times, which left me with a heart murmur. But it's very debilitating, you know, and to be told that you would never be normally, that your heart would never allow you to be a normal child or even remotely have children as an adult. And to be able to overcome all of that and strengthen my own heart was just, you know, the candle on the cake.
How did you tell people you're not going to listen to what they say and say, I'm going to do what I want to do? Who taught you to have that strong will to keep going even through all the adversity you've had?
You know, I don't think anyone told me that. I just felt like when the doctors told me at Children's Hospital in Omaha, Nebraska, that I would just be a sickly child, that I would have to watch all the other kids outside play and I would have to stay inside because I would be too weak. I just thought, you cannot tell me I can't be normal. Like, I don't know if I was born with that desire or, you know, because to this day, when someone tells me I can't do something, I'm like, okay, watch me. You know? So I don't know. I just, maybe I was born with that. I don't know, but I just was bound and determined not to let some doctor tell me that I was not going to get to be normal and run and play outside with other kids. And so I went against everyone's will. I went against my mother, my father, everybody. And as I continued to get older, I loved sports. I just thrived in sports. And I became a world-class athlete against everyone's wishes, which led me to getting a basketball scholarship, which led me into the field of fitness, you know. But by the age of 19, they were able to actually take me off my daily dose of penicillin, which, you know, helped keep strep throat away, and said to me, you were able to strengthen your heart so well that we can hardly call you a heart patient anymore. But, you know, we can still heart, to this day, they can still hear my heart murmur up to somewhere around 180 beats a minute. But, you know, wow. I've never let that heart murmur determine what I can and cannot do in life. I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro at the age of 50. You know, I was a world-class bodybuilder, took the U.S. Open in 1999, went on to be Mrs. Texas in beauty pageants. You know, I've never let anything stop me. When people tell me they don't think I can do it, I just do it.
I love that attitude, and that's got to be very inspiring when people listen to what you talk about. Because again, so many people go through trials and tribulations, and then they just kind of go and allow it to really bother them. I guess hearing a story like yours can inspire a lot of people.
Yeah, but you know, people forget that, you know, doctors are not God, and you know, they can give you their advice, but you know, there's a higher power in this world besides the doctor. So I don't know. Somehow as a little kid, I felt that and I knew that. I don't know how, but thank you.
And you're inspiring me to remind myself of the days when I had to take penicillin during my college basketball career. There's so many similarities. It's crazy. I too took penicillin all through my college years, just because that's what they did to treat it. And you're in your 50s, I'm in my 40s. So it was a little differently how they treated rheumatic fever from that time to my time. And that was so tough. It's like, oh my gosh, got to take my pill. I'm healthy as can be, except that.
And right. Right.
It's just like, wow. And you're always afraid every time you get a sore throat. Oh no, I can't. And that's
right.
Always told me I can't get rheumatic fever. And I mean, I cannot get strep throat, and I have gotten it a couple times, but it's just the living everything out of me when I get it.
Right. But you know, from, you know, every time I ended up with rheumatic fever, I laid in a hospital and it was painful. It was bed rest. It was terrible. And once you've had to do that, you do everything in your power not to have to go through that again.
Absolutely. All right. So let's kind of go to, you talked about fitness. You went from basketball to fitness. Who got you involved in being in fitness big time? You played basketball. Who got you to like lifting? You were in unbelievable shape. You're in unbelievable shape now, but you were in unbelievable shape when you were training in fitness types of things when you were in your 20s and 30s. But who kind of got you involved in that?
Once again, it was me. Every time I get involved in something, it's because of me, not because of anyone else. But I had graduated from high school. I was supposed to go on to Black Hills State University from a basketball scholarship. But, you know, in Nebraska and Wyoming, there was no such thing back then as go to college. It was, you know, you're supposed to get married and have children and live in a little house with a picket fence and have 2.4 children. And so, you know, I followed what your family tells you to do. And so unfortunately, because I missed my sport, the little town that I lived in had opened up this little aerobic center, and one of my girlfriends wanted me to go there with her just to watch. And I couldn't just watch. I had to participate. And the aerobics instructor just said, oh my God, you have so much rhythm, you know, you caught on to this. And I said, well, I was a cheerleader in high school, of course, you know, and from my athletic abilities. And so I immediately started teaching aerobics, which led me to, you know, competing back in those days, it was called the Reebok Aerobic Championships. I'm aging myself. And then I went on from that to become a certified Nautilus instructor, which is now called a personal trainer, but just loved sports, you know, and so it just seemed to come natural to me.
And then the gym business, right? After that success, you had that entrepreneurial mindset. And I'm not going to ask that same question again. Who led you to that? It's you. You make the decisions. I'm listening to you and saying, okay, Teresa says, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. So you said, I got this idea. I'm going to be an entrepreneur and I'm going to own gyms because you were a personal trainer. You make some sort of decent money. We said, no, I want to do something that's going to help transform me and other people just like myself. And I can't reach as many people by just personal training. I got to own gyms.
Well, you know, I was married and then I tragically got divorced. And so while I was married, I was teaching aerobics as a hobby is what I thought. And so when I got divorced, I thought, oh my God, now I have to make a living. What do I do? And so I took on 4 part-time jobs and was carrying 16 credit hours in college. And I just was beating my head against the wall. Like, what am I going to do to raise these children? You know, I'm on my own now. And suddenly it was like, oh my God, what you used to do for fun, you can actually make a living at now, which was, you know, teaching aerobics and personal training. And I loved the entrepreneurial side of me being my own boss. And right. So before you knew it, I was like, hell, why stop here? Let's just own my own gym. And so I did. I got an SBA loan and opened up my first gym, which led to me opening up a chain of gyms, which led me to selling my chain and becoming a self-made millionaire.
And once you became a millionaire, then you came up with more ideas, right? More things.
Well, you know, it doesn't stop there.
No, it doesn't.
Just because, you know, some people think, oh, once I reach $1 million, I'll quit. And I've never known a millionaire that doesn't want to be a billionaire. And so you're never satisfied. You just want to keep making more and more and more. And so then after I sold my health clubs, I became a health club consultant, where I would go and teach people how to turn their health clubs around, which led to one of the biggest health club chains back then hiring me, which was Bally Total Fitness, hired me to come on as a district senior supervisor to oversee different areas, which led me from California to Texas, and that's where I'm at now. And so, but once then, I'm never satisfied. So besides just doing that for Bally's, I also got my real estate license. So I started doing real estate also. So I was really doing 2 careers at a time. And then I finally let go of the Bally's because it was taking way too much time and settled on just real estate. But then that wasn't enough. And so then, you know, I still wanted to be my own boss even more. So that's when I started creating my own clothing lines, candle lines, pillow lines, fitness wear lines. You know, I'm a motivational speaker. I just can't get enough. Then I went into social media. I have my own YouTube channel. I'm a social media influencer for many, many, many different brands. And, I just love it. I just love being my own boss. I love working. I can't get enough.
So tell me your schedule on a regular basis. You talked about all the, you talk about how busy you are and what time do you get up in the morning and what time do you go to bed?
I roughly get up around 6:30, 7 in the morning. My first hour is meditation and speaking with God. I try not to even look at electronics for the first couple hours of my day because we know what that happens. You know, right. It takes you away. And then I dip into, you know, I watch just a little bit of news and read the newspaper. And then, boom, I open the computer, I open my phone, and usually by noon I'm still in my pajamas because I've gotten so much work done between the hours of 8 and 12 that I haven't even had time to walk away from the computers and whatnot. But my day consists of photo shoots. It consists of videos, creating videos with my teams. It's a lot of conference calls. I also do coaching calls. I go to different meetings. I do a lot of philanthropy work. So I go to all kinds of meetings involving different charities. I'm always brainstorming. We've got vision boards all over my office of us brainstorming what's the next big thing. You know, what do we want to do next? It's just, you know, collaborations. I'm always on an airplane flying somewhere to do collaborations with other YouTubers and other Instagrammers. Doing meetings with different companies to come up with different collaborations.
Wow.
It's just never ending. Like last night at the very end of my night, I had to run off to a Texas Children's Hospital gala. I was dead tired, but you know, too bad, you know, you keep going. Yep. And so, my day yesterday ended at around 11:30 last night. fell into bed, got back up, you know. But yeah, so it's just, it's never ending.
Who keeps you so organized? Don't say yourself. Come on, now, you have to.
it's me and a couple assistants. But for the majority of it, it's me. I'm very OCDC. I have vision boards. I have calendars. Everything is on schedule. You know, even my workouts, if I want, you know, because I love working out. So I have to make my workout an appointment.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts, CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop-shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.